have Glenda here today. She is a passionate personal trainer and has her own gym, a Pilates instructor, someone I look up to in many areas of my life. And she's especially passionate about women's health, perimenopause, menopause, and just health in general. So welcome, Glenda. I can't wait to dive into the reality that we go through and the changes from 30 to 40, 40 to 50, perimenopause, menopause, our fucking identity and how we approach health. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait either. There's going to be lots of discussion about things that women just don't really want to ask.
Oh, I know. This will be raw and real. And I knew you were just the perfect person to have on here. I have had conversations before about hormones, but I am talking, this is going to be from a whole different point of view. I love watching your stuff on social media as well when you're talking about this. It resonates with you and many of our clients. So let's dive into a few things. I thought I would actually start by my experience through my body changes mentally, physically, my life, and how now that I'm talking about it after the fact, working through that myself, because I was too shy to talk about it before because I was a coach and you feel like an imposter.
Yeah.
But I've noticed more and more and more that clients and friends experience it too. So I'm just going to rattle off some changes I felt and then you can give me your perspective. Common changes.
You go for it.
Had is I from 38 to now, but I have overcome them, which we'll also share how the fuck we can overcome these during this. But my motivation, drive, and mood, my sex drive, my literal drive for life was a lot lower. And I've always been a really driven person, really motivated, and I can still do things, but it feels so fucking hard. So that was one big thing for me that was like a real kick in the pants because dragging my ass. I'm not going to lie, the fat around my belly, the steady weight gain freaked me out. Like, again, I was a personal trainer, health coach, an athlete, always, you know, managing and maintaining a good weight. And I went through a period of 2 or 3 years where it was just on the steady increase. Now I know that it's very
all normal.
Yeah.
All normal.
All normal. But I thought, oh my gosh, I am such a imposter. I'm actually a fat loss coach. What's going on? Couldn't shift the weight like I used to. I actually seeked out some hormonal testing, really realized I'm in perimenopause. So some other things, I was fatigued along with the low mood, the low motivation. I was experiencing some serious fatigue. Again, I hadn't really had that. I'm normally a very energetic person and that felt exhausting, which meant then I was moody, I was irritable, I had no fucks given. Like, my husband annoyed me more, my kids annoyed me more, humans in general annoyed me more, and other things. Like, I was a moody bitch. Moody and also brutal, but at the same time, the most emotional I've ever felt. Crying about this, crying about that. So, like, you feel like the biggest mental case.
I know you do. And you feel like you're on a roller coaster of emotions. Like, I don't know. Remember when we sort of used to talk a few years ago and we talked about, I'd go, oh, I just stick it in my fuck it bucket. Well, that's when I was in my mid 40s. And it's like, you just got to go with it.
Yeah.
Just kick the shit out. Don't overthink it. Don't penalize yourself for not being how you used to be. Things change. It's like a progression. When you first go through, when you're young and you first get your periods and you put the weight gain and, you know, and you strive to be skinny because that's what everybody wants to be, we're at the other end of this now.
Yeah.
So we've now, you know, we've had our babies, we've done all of the things. Now we're going into what the Japanese call the bloom. It's a really beautiful way to express it because now's our time. Unfortunately, the weight gain goes part and parcel with it because, you know, everything's changing. The hormone levels, our cortisol, our thyroid, you know, the endocrine system, everything is trying to find a new normal.
A new normal. I say that, I use the words, I'm trying to crack my new code because what worked before won't work now.
Doesn't.
All areas, nutrition, exercise, your mindset, your perception. I think that was the hardest part for me was that identity shifting, going from there to here, and it was like this real messy in the middle. Like now I can accept it's perimenopause, I can accept the new body shape, I can accept I have to sleep more, I can accept I have to eat different, I can accept and know all that. But it was that messy in the middle where you do feel like you're going insane.
Oh, you do. You look back through the centuries and, you know, women, witches were burnt at the cross. Well, they were obviously in menopause, weren't they? You know, women were put into mental asylums because they were mental, and they were. They were going through menopause. Back then it was such a taboo topic. No one ever talked about it. And even our grandparents, my mum sort of talked about it a little bit more than my grandmother, but, you know, it was such a taboo topic. And
education, they didn't have what we have now. They didn't have Google to go and have a look at things, did they?
No. And the lack of understanding, like basically it was just your bag. Your period stopped, you got grumpy, you gained weight, and that was just how it was.
Yeah.
But now there's so much more that we know and that we can do.
Expand a little bit on the bloom.
We're going through the opposite of what we did in our teenage years when we first went into puberty. We're now doing the opposite of that. We're not setting up to be, you know, having children and all that. We're at the opposite end of the scale. So everything's starting to dissolve. Every woman's different. Like, the thing that really makes me laugh is they say that, you know, menopause starts about mid-40s. Well, no, it doesn't. It can start from your early 30s. When you have a hysterectomy, it forces you into medical menopause.
Yeah.
So those women, obviously, you know, a lot of them are put on HRT and stuff like that. Yes. But HRT doesn't actually suit every person.
No.
I can't take HRT at all. I couldn't actually take the pill either, because I'm really sensitive to synthetic hormones. So it doesn't suit everyone. And I have had clients who have gone, they've gone, oh yeah, I'm going to go on it. My doctor suggested it, so I've gone on it. And then they've gone, I actually feel worse.
Yeah.
I feel way worse than I did before. So they go off it and they feel better again.
I mentioned this to you before. Two things was, I didn't realise I was perimenopausal at 38. I felt
weight
like
gain.
I was young. And I worked with a hormone specialist and she was helping me with hormones. And I asked her about the HRT and she said, no, it's synthetic. I only needed this much of this and this much of that. And I couldn't get that kind of structure through HRT. So, but I find a lot of women are like just reaching for HRT. And I feel like they reach for it as nearly a diet culture. I don't want to get fat. Can I take something to not get fat? Well, that's my personal perception. I know they don't feel good in their moods and all of that stuff, but like just reaching for HRT probably is because of that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do think it's now the magic pill, and for a lot, it's actually not. The other way to do it is through a natural form of taking different leveling tablets, like you've taken that biodiverse. Happens is we try to get support while our symptoms are bad. Your symptoms aren't going to be bad forever. It's just going to be a very small time that you're going through that until your body can just readjust to the changes. And then your hormones will naturally, because I mean the physical body is amazing. Like, we're such amazing creatures. So until those levels start to become back to their new normal, because that's what it's trying to do, then it's great to have those supportive drugs. But HRT is slightly different. I think it's been really pushed as the magic drug for a lot of women. And a lot of women go on it and they find that they end up worse than they were before, more teary. Because unless you actually have a test, like we used to have the Dutch test in New Zealand where they did the urine sample testing, which is better than the blood testing, because at certain times, like you've had it actually, the levels of hormone vary so much. So that is obviously the better way to do it. It's really hard when you go to the doctor and you say, oh, my hormones are all up and down and all over the show. And they go, oh, but it's normal.
then that's what happened to me. I went to the doctor and they said, no, everything's in the normal.
Normal
And the
range, yeah.
hormone specialist pulled up my medical records and she said, the doctor thinks it's normal, but it's not in the normal
Not.
range at all. I went into that journey with her for a good year. And that was so helpful because my goal there was, of course, to get my energy back and improve my mood, because I knew
Yes.
then I can approach my general healthy habits and find my new normal, because I've got the skill and ability to do that. But I can imagine how many women don't know what the fuck to do because they're still reaching for old measures, they're reaching for
Yes.
HRT, they're reaching whatever, not realizing that sometimes it is creating a new normal. And what you
Yes.
said before about the perimenopause and menopause, how nearly that perimenopause phase is a little bit worse trying to find this new normal than going through the menopause. Can you talk
Yeah.
about that?
Well, I for me personally, I found perimenopause, and for a lot of the women that I work with, they found perimenopause worse than actual menopause. So it's the, I guess it's the different, the dropping of the hormones, and then everything's trying to level up. You know, you've got progesterone, you've got estrogen, you've got testosterone, all at weird limits and levels for your body now, because you know, estrogen drops and then everything else has to try and go make up a
Yeah, they're
level.
all handing over the batons, aren't they, to each
Yes.
other?
Yeah.
Trying to help
So
you, not make you fat or irritable or angry. They are trying to help.
they're trying their best
Yeah.
to find a new normal. And at the same time, you've got cortisol, you've got your metabolism, then you've got your endocrine system. Everything isn't at a normal level that it always has been before. You begin to get the really sore joints, hips, knees, especially. Lots of women, perimenopause women, hips and knees seem to be predominantly the biggest irk, which in turn then stops them from moving, which in turn then makes them put on weight. Best thing to do is to, I think, is if you can, I know a lot of women can't, spend a little bit of money, find a naturopath, find someone that you trust. There's lots of natural alternatives that you can take. Not beating yourself up, like stop lifting the heavy weights if your joints are sore.
Yeah.
You can still do gentle lifting. Let everything just settle down. You know, try some yoga, try some Pilates. You know, reformer Pilates is wonderful because, I mean, it all is wonderful because it's still resistance, but it's a beautiful flow. It's a soft movement. It's flowing. You're still working out. You're still getting a sweat up.
Yeah.
But you need to find a new gentle way of
New
moving.
approach.
Go back to your walking. You know, if you enjoy running, fine. If you have sore joints, then stop the running.
Yeah.
Go for a cycle instead, you know. It's not going to last forever. It progresses through as your hormones rebalance and begin to re-level with the estrogen. We don't have estrogen, our joints. It's what keeps us, you know, supported in our joints.
I'm a powerlifter, and you know that, and I used to compete, and I was having this to and fro from lifting heavy to not heavy, but my heavy now is still anyone else's, extremely heavy, but I
Yes.
took it down a lot because I had sore knees, achy knees, so I just train a little bit less intensity, less heavy, still amazing, but
Yes.
again, the hardest thing was going from my old self to my new self, and of course, I stopped high energy stuff, and I just implemented walking. And love it and have a really great balance now. But again, the hard part was coming to that acceptance that finding your new normal, you know, and what that
Yes.
looks like.
Yeah, because you feel like you're being ripped off. You think,
Yeah.
well, I should be able to do all these things because
I
I've
used
been
to
able
be
to
able to
do
do
them.
it.
But you've got, it's like your clothes, and we were talking about this a while ago, the clothes in your wardrobe. The
Yeah.
clothes in your wardrobe no longer fit. You still want to keep them, but you've got to just get over that and not look at the scale, not look at the size, not look at the weight. You've just got to go back to
Approach it
the
different.
whole, the whole mindset is the most important. So if you can get your mindset calm, you can get your body calm, then everything will flow from there. The joints will start to get better. You're not so hard on yourself. You don't call yourself all the nasty words that you wouldn't call your best friend, but you'd call them to yourself. So it is, it's a massive change for us.
But
I think, perimenopause definitely is, it's harsher. It is messy in the middle phase. Sadly, it can last for quite a few years for some women.
Yeah.
And for others, I think probably for me, it was probably about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to add to that too is during perimenopause also, a lot of autoimmune issues start to surface. Those change in hormones again, the cortisol levels, the thyroid changes, you know, that whole, all of that endocrine system, you know, isn't working the way that it has been for the last, you know, 20, 30 years of your life. But we've got to inhale the beauty and exhale the bullshit. Just go, okay, this is just another phase of life. You know, I'm not a fat bastard. I can still move. I've just got to get out of that self-pittiness that you begin to feel.
Or also avoidance, like it's not going on. I'm in my year, coming into year 5, I feel fucking amazing again.
Yes.
And I am kind of coming out the other side of that middle where mentally I wasn't really coping with it and I had to restructure so much. I've got energy all day. I feel good. I've got a good routine. It lasts quite a long time. And if you don't know what's happening or don't seek support or don't approach it completely different, it can be a lot worse than it needs to be.
It can be. And that's the thing. You've just got to look at it as just a small stage in your life. It's like after you had your children and you had the weight gain and you tried to get it off. And, you know, it's the same sort of thing, except what worked then isn't going to work now.
I've got a couple of questions for you first, but we will dive into our recommendations, which I know are very much the same around how to approach your health, your body, how you feel. But a few questions I had for you was, I've just shared my experiences. Did I miss anything that you see for clients, friends, that they may have experienced? Just in case someone's listening, it's like, oh, they're not sure. The only other thing I left out for me was my hair snapping and thinning.
That's a really common one. There are so many. It is such a huge range of symptoms. From memory loss, decreased concentration, lack of energy, fatigue, sweating, the hot flushes.
Yeah.
Some women get them, some women don't. Yeah. I got them. I still get them every now and again. That really is a lot to do with diet, and alcohol stimulates the hot flushes. Yeah. The sleeplessness during perimenopause I found absolutely draining. That is what causes the decrease in concentration and the tiredness. Yeah. They call it the menopause hour between 3 a.m. and sort of 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Being awake, wide awake, and you can't go to sleep. You're watching the clock or you have to go to the toilet. That's really hard, but it doesn't last forever. There are ways that you can manage it, and it is with mindset and just setting up some really good going to bed routines helps immensely. Like, get off your blue screen.
Yes.
Don't drink too close to going to bed, because because unfortunately when estrogen lowers, so does all the soft tissue. So you're going to feel full. You're going to feel like you've got a full bladder all the time.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get up at 4 a.m. to go to the toilet. You want to sustain that sleep if you can.
Which is really funny, is I would get up to go to the toilet and keep my eyes closed so that I would try not to wake up properly. Make sure I could go back and settle.
Yeah. And don't turn the light on. Women's health. Menopause course through Wendy Sweet, and she's amazing. She's a doctor here in New Zealand. She said, if you can, just try some calming techniques. If you need to go to the toilet, you don't actually. It's just your brain saying you've got to get up. Calming, doing all the things before bed to sustain that good sleep. It won't be every night. Like, you'll wake up, especially in perimenopause, with the sweats some nights. I still do every now and again. It depends. You know, if I eat certain things like sugar or anything, like if I have alcohol, my gosh, that's like the hot sweats. Woo.
Yeah.
We'll go back to some of the symptoms, you know, the dryness, itchy ears, you know, really dry skin, itchy skin, flaky skin, low libido. Often that can just be through tiredness and, you know, then the one thing that we haven't talked about yet, which is the atrophy and the vaginal dryness and the changes in the soft tissue areas of not having enough estrogen to keep everything soft and
so
supple.
It's no wonder you also lose your libido and also
discomfort. It's something that women don't like to talk about, and it's one of the questions that I know at my gym with my ladies. I just didn't really want to ask those questions. It's like, well, no, it's okay to talk about it because we had all gone through it. And, you know, if you haven't, then you're very lucky that you haven't. When you're having sexual penetration, it actually tears. It's bloody sore. So, you know, but there are some things that you can take. Yeah. There's some really good supportive things that you can take. Intimacy support by clinicians is wonderful, amazing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
C. Buckthorn is another. That's a really good, and that actually helps with your hair and your fingernails as well. My naturopath is amazing. CJ.
Oh, yes. Naturopath. Oh, what's her name?
Motueka, Christine Jane, naturopath in Motueka. She's amazing when it comes to all these things. We're actually going to do another podcast about the same thing.
For me, with my job, I felt like, oh, I should know what's going on, or I shouldn't be gaining weight, or, you know, I should be this epitome of health. And I'm not right now.
But you still are.
But
Amy,
I was.
Oh,
no, and looking back now, I was. It was just this transition period, you know. Which is why I like to talk about it now that I've come out the other side and implemented that I needed to.
And hey, all women, we're our own worst enemies. We talk about ourselves so badly. Yeah. We wouldn't say what we say to ourselves to our best friend. In menopause, because there is just this whole, you know, you feel helpless. You feel really, really lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sort of liken it to a vintage car. Like, you might be a Holden Monaro, say.
Yeah.
Well, a Holden Monaro is never going to starve itself and be a mini, is it? It's always, bones-wise, it's always going to be a Holden Monaro.
It can try
to be a mini, but it never actually will be.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot to do with your genetics as well.
What are the misconceptions around hormonal changes, health, maintaining a healthy body and mind?
Misconception is that, you know, you can just diet yourself and, you know, out of menopause, but or exercise yourself out, but you can't.
No,
the thing is, because of the changes that are going on, it doesn't matter how little. Like, a lot of women find not eating in the morning is really good, you know, or keto is really good, or it's the same as that whole diet culture. You know, oh, my friend did this and it worked really well and everything. It might work for a while, but with menopause, it's different, especially perimenopause. So you've got to work hard, and it actually is just another big mind fuck. Causes you more stress and more anxiety because you're thinking, that's not working. Oh, I'm going to try what this person did, and that's not working. I'm going to try this and that. And it just becomes too much. And then before you know it. Yeah, it's like you were talking about the wearing of the clothes. I'm at that stage. I put clothes on and I think, oh my God, I can't wear that.
At the same time, it's an identity shift where something might fit us it used to, but we don't feel the same in it.
Our
styles change, but we don't know what the style is. And we actually just want to go back to comfort and find a new style, but where do we go for that? What does it look like? We don't like what our body looks like in it because it's different to
all
the messy in the middle. Yeah, so we just go to our gym gear or baggy clothes and hide, and you start dressing frumpy, which isn't you, and then you're like, oh, I want my cool back, I want my badass back, I want my style back, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is anymore, you know?
Yeah, and that's when it comes back to not being the Monaro or the Mini. It's somewhere in between. You've got to find where you fit. The time the comfort factor comes in, because your stomach, I mean, the gut especially is really important in menopause. It helps to get your mind on track. It helps you limit the bloating, going to the toilet. This all causes, you know, huge radical changes in the body. So lots of women find that they can't go to the toilet properly, and they get indigestion, and, you know, the heartburn and all of the things, because, you know, everything isn't working as it used to be. That's the thing that comes back to the comfort. It's okay to feel comfortable in your clothes. You can just go from jeans, you know, with a button and a fly, to the pull-on jeans with the waistband, you know. It's just a very small
window.
time in your life. It's like, again, when you were pregnant and you had this big belly out the front and you're dressed for comfort, nothing tight around your belly suited. So it's,
you
just sort of got to go back to
that.
When
you remove the frustration around it, you can find some clothes
find it.
that feel comfortable and look good too. It just
Yes.
might take a bit more trying on of lots of clothes and finding it. So, and it's finding a new groove. It's in all areas.
It
It
is.
relates to that.
Yeah, and it's also that change in mindset. Like, you've got to get really hard on yourself and stop going back to the past and how it was before, because it's not ever going to be exactly the same.
No.
You're not going to be the size 6 or the 8 or the 10 or the 12 or the 14 that you were before. You're going to be broader. It's like just how we change as we get older. It's a natural progression. You can do one of two things. You can wallow in your self-pity, or you can go, fuck it, I'm gonna change this and I'm gonna do something that makes me feel good. Hey, I've been there, I've done that, you know. I've been the yo-yo dieter, or, you know, perimenopause for me was awful. I've always had rheumatoid factor, but you know, I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, so my fingers were terrible, my wrists, my hips, everything. I couldn't lift, I couldn't do a lot of things. I ate my way into unhealthy. And at the end of the day, you know, one day I just thought, you know, what the fuck am I doing? I'm eating my feelings, I'm eating my emotions. I need to stop this shit, you know, and just get out and walk and just walk in nature and do the things that help your brain and help you mentally. Just accept who you are. You can't do it any other way.
Yeah, I guess this is a good time if we dive into the holistic health approach and the differences from maybe what you used to do to what we would do now and what we could recommend there for everyone to save them some time and heartache and trying that cookie cutter approach or fucking dieting full stop. You know, it's something that really needs to change. So when we talk holistic approach, if whoever's listening doesn't know what that is, we're looking at your mindset and how you function in your brain, your mood, and also nutrition, sleep, movement, and stress management mainly. There are other factors like the people you surround yourself with, the screens you're scrolling or not scrolling, and your energetics. But we'll talk about the main pillars to give some advice and what you would recommend, what I would recommend. And one of the biggest things I think is no more diets, and don't think intermittent fasting is going to save your soul, and neither is doing keto or any full-on calorie restrictions. And this is one of the first places you should stop and look at changing and start approaching nutrition from the space of you want healthy hormones and you want healthy metabolism and a healthy gut and healthy foundations so that your body can function well. And that means probably eating more and really looking at the quality of your food. So what would you, with nutrition, what do you have to say about that?
Well, the first thing I would say to women is eat the protein. Like, the protein is really important at the moment because we have connective tissues, and without estrogen, these deplete really quickly. So that is the most important. If you want to sustain a healthy lifestyle and the ability to be able to stay upright in your older years, you need to eat the protein. Yeah. Protein, protein, protein. 30 grams at every meal. If you can't get it in, like, I'm allergic to eggs. Like, so it becomes really hard, but, you know, like, I'm not great at eating a breakfast, but I do have a protein shake in the morning, and I put two big scoops in. Yeah. I probably eat more protein than I should, but then that's because in other ways I'm not getting it. Like, I can't do certain protein, like lots of dairy and all those things, but that's just me. So that is the most important, because also during perimenopause, one of the things is that a lot of those soft tissues start to give up, like the hips, the knees, the Achilles, the fingers get sore. So that would be the best. The first thing I would say is the most important. The second is your gut health.
So fiber, loads of vegetables. And this is where I changed my perspective, which some people might get away with, but I have ditched the 80-20 rule. I would recommend that for a client that it would be appropriate for, but for me, it's not appropriate because my genetics and the way I am if I went 80-20, I would continue to gain the weight and I would continue to have trouble. So I literally am like 90, and this might not be for everyone,
90,
95% whole foods, no dairy, no gluten, mainly whole foods, and a fuck ton of vegetables because I love my food and that's what will fill me up and helps with my gut health, because I can have very easily some poor gut health. And like you said before, mind gut connection, it's all connected. So
it is. And the thing is that if your gut isn't working properly, your hair, your nails, all of the things are not good. So as soon as you can get the gut working, and the thing is, whether that means taking a supplement, eat the food first, that's the most important thing. But if it's not quite tweaking enough, then go to a supplement, you know, get something like a gut biome, you know, replacement. But you've also got to be really careful, because if you have a leaky gut, then you really need to go and talk to someone who can help you sort all of that stuff out. So that would be the only caution I would say. Yeah. Gut health is important because it aids in everything, you know, the sleep, the joint health is the biggest thing. And then sleep is next. Sleep is the most important.
Yeah, that's something else that I had to really get my head around, was I used to function on 6 hours. Now I actually need 9 and I'm only getting 7 to 8. Then you look at your routines and rituals and where are you going to get that sleep?
And that's the thing. And sometimes it's just about resetting your life and going to bed early. I found reading before I went to bed, reading a book, not reading a Kindle, reading a book. Because as soon as you put paper in your hand, it just is like, for me, it's just like, oh gosh, I'm going to sleep. So,
oh my gosh, I can never get through a page. But
I know, I'm like that too. A page or two pages and then I'm out like a light.
And it's before that as well, isn't it? Like I find if I'm doing my evening routine, like I have my supplements or whatever I'm doing, you know, do my cleansing routine, that's telling your brain you're getting ready for bed as well.
Yeah.
To read, or I listen to meditation and go to sleep.
If you're exhausted, then if you can find, even if it's like 10 minutes to close your eyes and just have a nap, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. It's not a nana nap, it's a rejuvenating nap, because you're tired and you're not getting the sleep between the 3 and the 6, then you're gonna have to try and make it up somewhere.
I in my nutrition mentorship, we did holistic health, movement, sleep, stress. We actually did hormones, but back then it went just over my head. Napping. So he taught that napping is really great to do. We went to bed at 10 p.m. and we're getting up at like 6, like a mid cycle, like 2 o'clock would be mid of your sleep cycle. So 2 in the afternoon would be an ideal time for your nap, and to do probably no more than half an hour so that you're within that sleep phase window. So there is quality napping, and he said it's just amazing, especially if you're a shift worker or you're not getting sleep.
Well, lots of women go on about the 3 o'clock slump. Mm. Well, the 3 o'clock slump, if you're in perimenopause, then that's what that is.
Yes, if you're awake. And so, also sleep. If you're not sleeping, your body will search for energy with sugar cravings. Or a good time to put in here, that coffee is not a meal. Eat food when you're feeling that slump. Have a little healthy snack so that your body can have energy and or have the sleep instead of seeking, you know, things like
sugary.
Sugar, coffee.
Well, the other thing I'll say about coffee is I know that everyone loves to have their coffee in the morning.
I love it. Yeah, after food.
Yes, because coffee is really acidic in your gut. So if you're getting up and you're just drinking coffee first thing in the morning, you're setting your gut up to fail all day, every day.
And the cortisol. So coffee stimulate your cortisol. And if we've got cortisol happening in the morning, it's going to stimulate it even more, which we don't want that. Cortisol is great for a certain level, but not too much. So little changes like having your breakfast either with or before your coffee can be really beneficial.
Yes, just wee changes like that can make such a big difference. Coffee's not a meal.
Most people do that too, put off their hunger for another hour.
When you look at, when people say, oh, you know, my nutrition's really good, and you look at it and then I'm like, how many coffees are you having? Oh, I had 3. You know, well, if you're having milk and you're having a sugar, it all adds up. And the best thing I did for myself, not it's not for everybody, but I have lots of gut issues and health issues with food intolerances and stuff. I gave up coffee. I was under a nutritionist. She was amazing, Kelsey. And she said, let's just try this because, you know, it is setting yourself up to fail. I felt so much better not drinking coffee. I haven't really touched coffee since. So, and I actually don't miss it. I think sometimes it becomes a bit of a crutch in the morning for people.
Yeah, or just a habit. I drink coffee, and mine's literally just a habit because I might go 2 or 3 days without it, don't notice anything. I don't feel better or worse. It's not to give me energy or pep me up. It's for my emotional satiation. If you don't need it and if it is affecting you in not a good way or you feel better without it, it's just breaking a habit. So have something else instead. Green tea, water. Yeah.
Often if you're drinking too much coffee during the day, that can also stimulate you waking at the 3 o'clock time in the morning. You don't change everything all at once.
No.
You just look at everything and think, oh well, I can change that easily. Like I can stop drinking that coffee at, you know, 11:30 in the morning. As you add them in, you will notice that there'll be changes and you think, oh well, actually that did work. You know, I'm feeling really good today. I slept really well, and that's why. Alcohol is a different whole scenario. Alcohol and menopausal women, it just creates a massive bad gut, bad sleep, hot
bad
sweat,
mood,
bad mood,
depression, anxiety.
There's a lot of women that go, oh, you know, but I just need it. It helps me to just chill out. And well, try it for a month. Just try not having a drink, or cut down the drinking. Like, don't drink every night, because a lot of women have, you know, while they're cooking, they'll have a glass of wine. Just try to limit the amount of alcohol. And then on those nights, see how you're sleeping. Am I sleeping better? And I just about guarantee you that you will. Your hot flushes will be less. You will feel better. It's unfortunately, it's not forever, but at this time of your life.
Yeah. And also, like, you've only got so many days or moments of life left. You know, how do you want to be feeling? Like, if you... It's just, it's toxic and it's not helpful. Doing all we can to feel better should be a priority. I had a client that we did that. We cut her alcohol down quite a lot, didn't cut it completely. And she actually lost 3 or 4 kilo very quickly, you know, because she was having wine every night. And we cut it down to just a social thing where it was in the weekends or 2 nights a week was her allowance. So we're not taking it away, but we're taking it down a lot. And she lost 3 or 4 kilo and she felt fucking amazing. And it was a change.
The thing with, especially if you talk a lot of women who are in perimenopause and menopause, they'll actually say that they do feel really horrible when they drink wine, especially because wine seems to just stimulate so many issues in our body in menopause. It's worth cutting it back or stopping completely if you can. Alcohol especially plays havoc, massive havoc with your joints. Yes, the flaring of the joints, it does make a huge difference. So if you can limit or get rid of the alcohol, then you'll notice a big change, a massive change.
Honestly, it's people might go, oh, I don't want to get rid of coffee. Oh, I don't want to get rid of the alcohol. Oh, I don't want to do this. But it's like your health has got to become a priority if you want to feel good. Like, we can't go around complaining about how shit we feel and how shit we look if we really aren't going to prioritize doing something about it. Don't wait till you're so unhealthy that you can't be helped. Like, prevent that and do what you can now to take care of it, because it is small changes.
It's a thing. And there's no such word as can't. You can. Of course you can. You can move. You can change one thing at a time. Make that change slowly. For 1 month.
That's a big thing, is change things slowly and one at a time, and then build on that and compound on it, because it will become your new normal. You'll crack your new code and you'll have the new identity faster than maybe I did. So...
It's all learning, though. That's the thing. And everyone's so different. What works for me won't work for you. What works for you might not work for me. So
you wait till you get to 40 and I just go, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, I see what they're talking about. Now you'll be saying, you wait till you get to 50. I'm like, oh, no, I can just imagine now.
Yeah, because you do. It's like a whole new level of I don't give a fuck anymore.
Know,
you know, I'll say what I think. And, you know, like, it's like, well, I've earned this badge. I'm now, you know, in my mid-50s. It's just me.
But also, you're just finding yourself, right? And we just have, we do give less fucks because little things don't worry us anymore. What people think, you have to start taking care of you. What doesn't matter. It's the best feeling, really. So let's dive a little bit into movement. I know that we both agree here with movement, especially the changes. Again, you have to approach nutrition, movement, sleep, stress, all of that from a different perspective, like instead of wanting to lose weight all the time or wanting to be the strongest, the fastest, the skinniest, the whatever, approaching all of this from a different headspace will change the journey completely, right? So sure, movement from a space of mental health and physical well-being rather than weight loss, because the weight loss, the byproduct of you being your healthier self will be a better body composition. So movement is something that definitely. I know people latch on to, diets and movement, they latch on to it, like have to punish themselves, have to work really hard, have to feel the sweat. But when you're going through these changes, it's the worst thing you can do really is latch on to those things. So what would your recommendations be, maybe from an old mentality to adopting a new mentality?
Well, if I'm turning 40 or 50, I'm not going to go to a CrossFit gym and start CrossFit for the first time in my life, because that is just going to become a massive issue for your joints, for your cortisol, for everything. So I think the gentle approach is what it is. Some women don't have any issues and, you know, hey, they can lift or do whatever, but at some point in their life, then they are going to have to slow down. A more gentler approach is basically what it is. You can still lift weights. You can still do the things you did before, but you just need to take a little bit more easy on yourself.
Yeah.
And the flow through will be better than just smashing yourself all the time, because all that happens is you have flare-ups, you're sore, you're tired, and it just, everything just impacts the mental health, the physical health, everything, you know, your gut health, because your cortisol's too hot. After many years, I mean I run women's classes, like circuit classes, and I thought, oh, I just need to try something. I've done yoga, and then I thought I'll try Pilates. Well, I loved Pilates. It's really good because it's a challenge. And then of course I got on the reformer, which is like a bed that moves, and it's fantastic. It's a whole new exciting level of exercise. Women find it much easier because it's a more gentler, flowing way to move. It's still structural. You still get a sweat up. It's just finding new ways, gentler ways to move your body in a holistic way, rather than just something where you're just pounding out.
It's not catch 22, but for like what we were talking about before with the protein and the muscle mass, some kind of resistance is important. There's some egos or fights with your brain when it comes to exercise. It's only planned exercise is 5% of your energy expenditure, which if we talk about weight loss, it's a fucking small piece of the puzzle, right? We have to look at what's going to be enjoyable and what's going to be sustainable and what's going to be kind for your body and your goals. And right now through this stage, it's just being as healthy as you can mentally and physically. Walking is amazing, like, and completely underrated. You can do that without time and distance and effort rules around it. It might be a 15 minute walk around the block. It could be a 30 minute walk up a hill.
Getting off the couch, not watching Netflix for you know, half the day, just getting up, you know, giving your house a clean, vacuuming your house, you know, just moving, you know, taking your dog for a wee walk, walking around the house, doing some gardening, like, make it enjoyable. The sedentary lifestyle during menopause or perimenopause isn't going to work. So I know you feel tired, and I know you feel really lethargic, and you feel a bit depressed, but you've just got to get out and move. Yeah. If you don't move, then it's just going to get
worse. That's exactly what I would do. I would move my body. I go for walks for my mental mood and And I'll also go for a walk if I feel like my digestion's off to support my digestion, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just get a dog, one of our dogs, we've got three, and I'll go around the block or over to the school, and I feel better physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so it's such a win-win and very...
It is a win. If you're expending that energy, then it's going to help you sleep better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you do the things, you will eventually... sleep make better. Gains in the other avenues of of menopause that are causing you issues.
The last pillar of, well, there's two pillars really of the holistic health and to calm your body and help your hormones is the stress management and the mindfulness. So there's lots of practices you can do here, and I feel like stress management and mindfulness are real buzzwords now, and it probably will hold no meaning to anybody because they'll think you have to sit and meditate or what the fuck even is stress management and, you know, stuff like this. But it's really important to create the calm and regulation for your body to be able to do its thing, and it doesn't have to be hard.
No, it comes back to those little key things of, if you're tired, sit in your chair, have a 10-minute, close your eyes. It doesn't have to be a deep sleep. It can just be a restful state. Listen to the birds.
Sun for 5 minutes.
If things are getting overwhelming, leave the office, go for a walk.
Stress management, mindfulness doesn't have to be meditating for half an hour and journaling every day. You might like to do that, cool, but it can be walking. I mean, again, killing 20 birds with one stone, going for a damn walk, listening to some music. It might be just chatting to a friend, singing or humming or anything like that. All helps your body and mind and emotions and your stress instead of festering in stressful things. You have to manage it. You might not be able to get rid of stress, but you have to learn to manage it and bring some mindfulness and calm to your life.
Yeah, that's really important. So many people go to the doctors and say, you know, I feel really this and that and everything else. And they, you know, not all doctors, but a lot of doctors are so keen to just dish out antidepressants to women in menopause. And that's not actually going to help. It will if you need them genuinely. If you've got, you know, mental health issues and, you know, it does help, then by all means, go to your doctor. You really need to have professional advice. But we aren't depressed. We're tired. We've done the things, you know, we've gone through puberty, we've, you know, done our years of, you know, having children and working our lives and doing all these things.
And it's no wonder that we have no fucks given anymore.
Because we've given them all. It's about, you know, protecting your happiness now. It's about making yourself happy, taking the time. Your kids, you know, will be okay. Like, you've got to make time for yourself away from everybody else, because that is what's going to make the biggest difference probably in your life, is just having that better mindset and care.
I've got a couple of questions before we wrap up. Is there anything that floats around on the internet that really annoys the living daylights out of you around hormones, menopause, women's health?
One thing particularly at the moment is that HRT and Botox seem to go together. Why? Because do we feel like we've got wrinkles and everything and we need Botox as well? No, we don't. You know, there's nothing wrong with aging gracefully. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having Botox either. Don't get me wrong. But you don't need them together. It's not going to be something that, you know, it's not the magic pill. This one size fits all. Do this, lift this, eat this. It's not going to work. It didn't work for you. It didn't work for me. You know, I'm still 20 kgs heavier than I was when I was in my 30s. But in my 30s, my hormones were racing. You know, like I was young. Now all of that is slowing. But at the end of the day, I just think go in search of help, people that can help you the best, like a good naturopath who is really interested in women's health.
Well, that's one of the things that annoys me on the internet and just in general, is taking advice from someone that's not experienced it. Like, I come to you for advice all the time because I know you've experienced it. I wouldn't go to some male that's never gone through perimenopause, you know.
And there's plenty of those on there. They're like,
even if it's another female coach, and I made this mistake getting a coach that was 10 years younger than me and couldn't help me eventually. That's one thing that annoys me on the internet and groups and all these. There's women just like us seeking help and at their wit's end, and then there's all this fucking shit advice from people. Just eat less or just do that. Or I know how to build muscle and get really lean, and I am 50, except I've never put on weight in my life. Or seeking advice from like a naturopath or someone that's been through it, or someone that is living where you want to be because they went through it emotionally the same as you might be, because they will be able to help you more.
Is that for some of the coaches and they're out there, you know, who are pushing this, you know, do this and eat this. If you haven't gone through this stuff, you actually don't know. Like, you can read all you want.
I call it textbook coaching.
It is textbook coaching. When I first started out all those years ago, like 8 years ago or whatever, you know, I did my nutrition, I did all this. But what works for one person isn't going to work for another person.
No.
It's a really fine line. Like, for me, I have to be really careful about what I eat. And the most frustrating thing is that if I go to somebody else, they'll go, oh, well, you just got to eat eggs and you got to eat more dairy and you got to eat this and that and all the protein sources. I'm like, well, I can't. So can you give me something that I can have that I can eat? And no one can do it. No. So for me, that's my learnings and my life as a coach. I've had to find things. Research is the best thing. Like learning, research, you know. I mean you're the same, Amy. You're always looking into things, and
it's okay to be a coach and help people, but stay in your lane.
Because the thing is that you can only learn so much. Like, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a specialist. I've done some courses through Wendy Sweet and I've done some through Vets New Zealand, some English courses about menopause and stuff. But that whole system of hormone and the endocrine system and everything like that is humongous.
Yeah.
It is absolutely massive. You know, like, it's the physiology of the body.
Yeah,
you know,
crazy.
It's massive. So, you know, unless you want to go and do a degree,
practical steps from someone that's been through it and coming out the other side or out the other side can understand and resonate truly would be better than
a man telling you that you need to eat this and eat that and move this way, because what would they know? You don't know. So unless you've actually lived through it, it's like having a baby. Someone who has never had a baby cannot tell you how it feels to have a baby and go through all those things.
They can guess how it might feel, and that's all they're doing. But
actually, until they've walked the walk, it's like the autistic child syndrome. Yeah. Unless you've walked the walk and talked the talk, you don't know. Yeah. Well, you're living the life, aren't you? You're living in the moment. You're not. Yeah. You're not.
And like, I haven't
learning
been
about
ready
it.
To preach more about this until coming out the other side. You know, like, because when I was in the heat of it, I didn't still fully understand it. But now I've come out the other side, you can share your journey after and help people with practical steps that are realistic instead of just textbook stuff. Most of it comes back to holistic health all the time. But
it does.
No, it really does. Yeah. Most things, most issues. What's your biggest piece of advice to women going through this?
I just want them to be kind to themselves.
Yeah.
Take a step back from the life that you had in your 20s and your 30s and before you went through this. And I just want you to step back and just be kind to yourself. Because if you're not, it makes it so much harder. And I think that to me would be the most important. Like, being so mean to myself at times, you know, oh, this and that. And oh, you should be able to do this and that. And it compounds things. So so again, just be kind to yourself.
Self-compassion.
Stop with the I was, I did, I you know, like, just go back to the beginning. It's like being reborn again.
Yeah.
Go back to the beginning. What works, what doesn't, you know, that would
soda method, like, stop, observe, decide and then act. So do that with a compassionate and kind eye. Like, what would you say to someone you loved in this situation? And you can decide how you're going to act.
I don't think there's enough kindness in the world anyway. I think, you've just got to be kind to yourself and those around you and be understanding, because if you've got someone, a woman in the gym who's going through something, and, you know, it could be anything, you know, it could be that they're flooding during their period. The last thing they want to do is, you know, 20,000 burpees, because they're tired. You know, they're bleeding heavily. They're probably really low in iron. So that all creates exhaustion, you know, sleeplessness. As a coach, if you can, just try and be really understanding with your clients.
Yeah.
Because what they'll do really well 1 week, they may not do really well the next week.
And that's something people used to say, you used to be such a Hitler in the gym. I'm like, yeah, but what's the point in that now? Like, we're just here to be a healthy, we don't need to be Hitlers in the gym anymore.
No, I think that's what comes from understanding, isn't it? Yeah. As we age, we get it. Like, we get that it is really hard. I look back to when I first started and I think, oh my gosh, you know, all those women that I was pushing and they were in their 40s. It's like, why didn't they just tell me to shut them?
Making our impact on the world as we can today.
So just be kind, you know, be understanding and listen, because a lot of women will come to you with their problems and a lot of what they're asking isn't actually the underlying issue either. Yes. Like, they really want to ask you those questions about, you know, the atrophy and all that stuff, but they're too embarrassed to do it. And listen and just bring it up. Just be open and honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, like all the girls in my gym, like, I'm like, oh, yeah. So, you know, they're like, oh, what do you take? And I'm like, oh, women's intimacy support. Yeah. You know, that's clinicians have it.
And testosterone cramps.
Yeah. And so what it's done is it has opened up and all of the women have gone, oh, well, I've tried this and I've done that. And, you know, one of my clients has actually been down to Christchurch and had, it sounds painful, but it's like needling on the inside her atrophy was so bad. To stimulate the growth of new skin. And, you know, all those things. And who knew? Her doctor didn't even know about that. She went looking to find this.
Open conversation's so good. You don't have to suffer alone either.
No, because we're not alone. Just ask the questions. If you don't know as a coach, then ask someone. Go and find out. Like, I get lots of messages about personal things that women ask me, and I'm quite happy if I don't know, then I'll ask someone may.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, stay in your own lane and seek where else. It's good learning for everyone.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. There was a couple of things I did want to also say, and that's having enough amino acids is really important in your diet. Hair, your nails, and the skin. Ashwagandha, however you say ashwagandha, is really important. And Be Pure make a really good supplement for MenoCalm for women. They also have an EstroClear as well, which if you're estrogen dominant helps to just level out some of these things. Mm-hmm. But that's my best advice, is go and seek out a really good naturopath.
And also, when you are looking at supplements, get recommendations from someone like a naturopath or some good brands, because there is a lot of supplements out there on the shelf that are not going to cut the mustard.
No, there's a lot of cheap ones out there. But if you go into any reputable health shop and just ask to speak to their naturopath, their information, like, they know all about all of this stuff. If they don't, they will find out from somebody. Yeah, don't suffer alone. Don't suffer with all of the side effects.
Or settle. Don't settle for tolerating it, because there is all these things that we've talked about that you can do to manage it better. You might not make things go away, but you can definitely manage it heaps better.
And the other thing, it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
So when you get to the other side of it, when you get out of the perimenopause, which is awful, get out of the perimenopause, you get into menopause, things start to just slow down a little bit. And then after that, well, I mean, you're in menopause for the rest of your life, just like your postnatal for the rest of your life, but things will level out. The weight will come down. Be patient
and approach it differently. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Glenda.